is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host. My name is Sean Kane. Happy St. Paddy's Day, man. Happy March Madness. Happy St. Paddy's Day. This is the Friday show. Always a good show. Love that Friday show. We got a nice night coming up in the NBA. I'm currently recording late Thursday. Had a nice night here in the NBA. A couple really nice plays that I was really pleased with. A couple plays that I wasn't so pleased with. But hey, that's okay. We'll talk about that in the lineup review segment. Should be able to come out right side up on this one. First off though, hey. Before we jump into the show, gotta give a shout out to a couple guys, my friends on Twitter. DFS Spectre took down an express slam on the early slate. Kylo Quinn. I said if there's news about Kylo Quinn, he'll be a great play over Hernan Gomez. Well, Hernan Gomez goes to the bench. O'Quinn blows up. He goes for 40. Those were supposed to be, according to basically the field, those were supposed to be Hernan Gomez's points. That's where we all thought for sure, where we thought we would be, in those high 30s with O'Quinn. Didn't happen. In those high 30s with Hernan Gomez. Didn't happen, but it was O'Quinn, and it was O'Quinn for the win. That must be the luck of the Irish, Spectre. O'Quinn for the win? I mean, can we get that put on a fucking t-shirt, please? Somebody, O'Quinn for the win. I might just make that t-shirt for Spectre because he's a nice guy and I like funny t-shirts. Other than that, also, hey, Lineup Sorcerer. If you guys don't follow Lineup Sorcerer, worth a follow, and you can see him on my timeline. I tweeted out he had a great score on DK earlier. Great numbers. I was helping him with a lineup. The cool thing, this guy, part-time engineer on the side, building a DK analytics product right now. I'm talking to him about that on Twitter. So worth a follow, man. He's got an interesting DK tool that he's rolling out there. So keep an eye on that. Worth a follow. Let's not waste too much time. We got to preview the night upcoming, the Friday night slate in the NBA, spreads, injury news, and then we'll break down the players on the slate upcoming. Forgot one thing. Shout out to Joe Metz and the Fan Forecast fam for the big W for Xavier. Xavier with the takedown of Maryland. Big upset there. Had them in a couple spots in my bracket, of course, because of the Fan Forecast family there. Absolutely awesome work, Xavier, taking down Maryland. Excellent upset. Really glad I was on that one, man. I got a couple of them. I got the Minnesota one too. It was kind of chalky. It was the Minnesota, the MTSU Minnesota was a little chalky. But anyway, all right. Before we go much further, let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so I gave you a bunch of different lineup choices and pivots and decisions that you could go with. Personally, this is where I ended up. I ended up with Chris Paul and Mike Conley. I went Klay Thompson and Will Barton. And then at small forward, I went Gordon Hayward and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Now, the Hollis-Jefferson was a last-minute pivot. When we got the Trevor Booker news, I was like, wait, who's going to start? Oh, wow, Hollis-Jefferson's going to get 30 minutes. I'm in. Hollis-Jefferson got 30 minutes, and he put up 30 points. Really nice. Really, really nice. And then Draymond and Mo Spates, and the whole world was on Mo Spates and Hernan Gomez, and Mo Spates and Hernan Gomez both just absolutely busted. Terrible. I mean, not Mo Spates so much because he was only 3-5, so not such a bad score from him, but only goes 4x flirted with blowout pretty much the whole time. It was a bummer because third quarter, the Clips were playing really well. They were kind of getting back into it. They were within 10, and Chris Paul was balling out, and picked up his fourth foul and left with like 7 minutes. And then the Denver blew it up and went up by 20. And then they got it back down to like 15. Chris Paul came back in. He got it within 10 at one point, but couldn't quite make a run. But glad that that wasn't an absolute disastrous blowout. Chris Paul ended up with 42 points. So let's talk about this lineup a little bit. You know, the pivot to Hollis Jefferson was really key for me. Getting down off of Carmelo and taking that Hollis Jefferson money and basically redistributing got me on Will Barton and Chris Paul. I was originally on, I believe it was D Rose, if I remember correctly. It was Derrick Rose or Elfrid Payton. It was either Derrick Rose and Elfrid Payton. I think it was Derrick Rose and JJ Redick. Now JJ had a really nice game, but Will Barton had an excellent game. So ended up with, Chris Paul and Will Barton, who both did really, really nicely. And I was just so pumped. Mike Conley, you know, if you can't have Russell Westbrook in your lineup, then you better have the two next best point guards on the slate, which Mike Conley and Chris Paul were. I had them both. So that was really nice. I was really pleased with that. Then shooting guard Clay is absolutely destroying the first half of this game, 30 first half points, which is just unbelievably nice, because basically now I'm 3 points out of cash in all formats with Clay and Dre left on this slate. So really feeling good. Very interesting night, to be honest, though. Looking at my entries here across GPPs, multipliers, and 50-50s, same exact cash line, 273, 274, 273. Just to name three quick cash lines from 50-50s, multipliers, and the 20% GPP line and the dribbler. So really interesting that that's the way that that's breaking out. You know, don't know if it's a lot of people run in one lineup or if, you know, it's not always the case. When you have these smaller slates, you know, a lot of people are on the same plays. So it ends up, being high, you know, high-owned plays everywhere across the board. So lineup is looking pretty sharp, feeling pretty good about it. Like I said, I wish that this Orlando-Golden State game would be a little bit closer, but Orlando kind of nudging their way back into it. Not a total blowout just yet. Should get some more minutes out of guys in the third quarter. Push us into cash, and I think that there were some really solid calls in the player pool. Will Barton and Klay Thompson were obviously at the top of my list. Mike Conley at the top of my list. Gordon Hayward really struggled. And as did Carmelo. Carmelo didn't really do much at all. He kind of went for 30. I said that about him though. You know, LeBron did really well, and of course Russ. We said, you know, hey, if you can find Russ, he's going to get 60. What does he do? He gets 60. No question. Good stuff. Not upset with the outcome at all here tonight. Should be a good night, you know, to carry over into the Friday night slate. So let's not go too much further. Let's go ahead and take a look at the lines for tonight. Okay, so we have I think 7 games on the Friday night slate, which is a really nice size. We've had these really nice slice slates this week where they're not too hard to break down. First game of the night, we've got Dallas at Philadelphia. Nerlens Noel revenge game. 207 total here. Dallas favored by 4. What we're keeping an eye on is the Wes Matthews and Nerlens Noel news for Dallas. Those are what we're worried about. Nerlens had that knee injury. Kept him out of a couple games. He played last game in Washington, limited minutes, but he played. And I think that was partially because Dirk was playing so well. Wes Matthews sat out too, so we'll keep an eye on that. That would really make some nice value in Dallas open up if it would really be a nice play for Seth Curry. We'll talk about that on the pod. Chicago at Washington, Dwayne Wade shut down for the season, busted elbow. It'll be interesting to see how things break out for the Chicago rotation. You know, obviously we know that Jimmy will get a massive usage from here out, but you know, we should also see a lot of good minutes for guys like Denzel Valentine, who they want to develop. You know, I don't think they're completely punting the season just yet, but they should be. And Denzel Valentine should be someone that they try to develop. You know, get him as many minutes down the stretch as you can. See what he's made of. Other than that, the other side of the ball, we're looking at John Wall with a foot injury. He's 50-50. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see John Wall go and we get Brandon Jennings in his spot. You know, Brandon Jennings, great play and a great DVP situation. We know he's an NBA quality point guard. So no worries about Brandon Jennings for me in this spot. If we get him, Boston at Brooklyn. Isaiah Thomas sitting this one out, soreness in the knee. 223 total here. Oh, by the way. The Chicago-Detroit game does not have, or excuse me, Chicago-Washington game does not have a line yet. No line, because we don't know about John Wall. Anyway, Boston-Brooklyn, 223 total here. Boston favored by 9. No Isaiah Thomas in the lineup. So you've got Terry Rozier filling in for him, and Terry Rozier on his birthday getting Brooklyn. Guys, I mean, jeez, I mean, do you lock him in now, or do you wait till 5 o'clock tomorrow to lock him in? Just, jeez, let's lock him in. It's all there. Brooklyn, value point guard on the Celtics. Luck of the Irish. I mean, it's all there, guys. It's all fucking there. All right, Toronto at Detroit, 199 total in this one. Detroit favored by 3 at home. Toronto got walloped by OKC tonight. Just walloped. Like, honestly, dude, if you can stop DeMar DeRozan, that team does not have a chance. Really kind of sad, because the rest of their assets defensively are pretty strong. It's just like, what are they going to do come playoff time? I don't know. Anyway, then you've got Minnesota, Miami, we've got, you know, no serious injuries to consider in this one. Not a great game. 207 total here. Miami only favored by 4, but it should be a good basketball game to watch. Competitive teams trying to get themselves into the playoffs. So, interesting game from a basketball perspective, not that interesting from a fantasy perspective. Houston at New Orleans. Now, this one has fantasy goodness written all over it. 227 total here. Houston only favored by 5 on the road. Sounds like Vegas is giving some love to the fact that New Orleans has two of the best centers in the game and Houston can't guard the center. Absolutely fantasy viable here. Gets yourself some exposure to this one. I don't see a problem with that whatsoever. No serious injuries to consider in that one. I don't think we have to worry about that. Everybody seems healthy. Orlando at Phoenix, 221 total here. Another juicy fantasy target. Phoenix favored by 3 at home. No Eric Bledsoe. Brandon Knight. Tyler Ulis, man. Ulis is going to be getting some serious run in this one. Absolutely a situation to consider Ulis in, but of course you always want to consider the guy on the opposite side of the ball, Elf Daddy, getting the best EVP situation in basketball right now. One of the best DVP situations in basketball. We're going down to the last game of the night. One of my fave games, Milwaukee at LA. Giannis in Staples Center. Showtime Giannis. 216 total here. Milwaukee favored by 5 coming off that nice win against... the Clippers, that last minute win there that they got. Milwaukee getting up in the getting into the Eastern Conference standings here. They are, I believe, the 7 seed right now, with Detroit nipping at their heels. So, really exciting moment for Bucks fans to see a young team, even without Jabari, pushing into the playoffs. So, really cool to see that for them. But you got to think that they can handle this game after they've played some really, really good basketball in the last couple games, beating the Pacers, beating the Clippers, you know, and absolutely a spot where we want Giannis. Okay, so that is it. Like I said, seven games, you know, a nice little slate, some really good targets for fantasy purposes, you know, pretty straightforward. And we're going to go ahead and jump in and break it down. I don't think there's too much to be worried about. I think it's a pretty straightforward slate. And I brought Josh Fern on to help me out with that. So Fern and I are going to go ahead and break this baby open for you guys. Enjoy. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown here. This is where we are going to sort through the top tier players on the slate, the mid tier, the grout plays, and then try and find some bargain plays for you guys as well. I got my man Josh Fern over here helping me out on this St. Paddy's Day slate. Fern, how are you doing, buddy?
Oh, not too bad, Shawnee. I'm pretty good. You're Irish, aren't you?
I am.
I think the name Sean gives it away. Kane's a little Irish, isn't it?
It is Irish. It is. Sean, me and Sean Kilpatrick.
Yeah.
Sean Kilpatrick, very
Irish.
Yeah,
but Sean Kilpatrick, of his namesake, didn't get to play on this St. Paddy's Day, unfortunately for him.
No, he did not. He did not. Well, this St. Paddy's Day Eve, and it doesn't look like he'll play on St. Paddy's Day either, but, you know, who cares?
But, you know, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson was enjoying himself quite a bit now, wasn't he?
He is. He is, and as we know, and with a name like Rondé, very Irish.
Irish. I think that's from the streets of Dublin, if I don't say so myself.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All
right. So Rondé Hollis-Jefferson aside, because that's kind of one of the only things that's going well right now. Fern, you're going to go point guard. I'm going to go shooting guard. You got small forward. I got power forward. We'll both talk center. You know, we got like a six gamer, I think it is, a seven game slate, even though, you know, most people are probably going to be watching some March Madness. There is NBA action in the league here. So, you know, no reason to fade the slate. We'll give you guys some lineup ideas, and hopefully we'll help you figure out where you want to spend your money. So, Josh, why don't you just jump into a little bit of point guard here?
Just a wee little bit of point guard, eh? That's my awful Irish accent.
That was pretty bad, actually. That was
just a wee little bit of wait, hold on, you say Australian accent, yeah. All right, you know what? I'm gonna just
give us the plays.
All right. Clear mind, full heart. All right. So the point guard plays for this wonderful evening. Yeah, you know, looking at the point guards, you got your studs, and the only guy that meets the salary stipulation is John Wall. Now, I think most of us are aware of his status. He's currently 50-50 with a sprained foot. But the matchup with Chicago is outstanding. You really got to love point guards taking on the Bulls these days. So if he doesn't go, Brandon Jennings slides in with an awesome opportunity again against the Chicago team that, you know, DVP-wise is one that you definitely want to target. But if John Wall does go, you have to think that he's fine. You know, the Wizards aren't going to risk his health as they make a chase for, you know, for my sake as a Wizards fan, knock on wood, hopefully the number one seed in the East. So yeah, if he goes, you shouldn't be worried about him, you know, health wise. They're not going to roll him out there if there's any concerns. So yeah, the Bulls have given up the most points to opposing point guards over the past five games. That's good. I think that's pretty good to target last time I checked. If you're risk averse, you know, there are indeed other options out there. So don't feel like John Wall, you know, in that amazing DVP situation is, you know, a must play, but it's a great play. So I'll just go ahead and give you my goat, my greatest of all time play for the day, and that's Elfrid Payton. Obviously, he's the choice, right? He's taking on Phoenix in a game with a 220 over under as of right now, you know, late Thursday night. 3-point spread on the road, on a back-to-back, facing a young and raw team that, other than the Lakers, has been the best to target with point guards. So, Elf, he'll be super chalky, super, super chalky, I think. Could be wrong, but I think he's going to be really chalky in most GPPs and definitely in cash games. But he's worth it, you know. You don't want to be scared away by the chalk. I like to fade the chalk personally, but, you know, in situations like this, don't get scared away. You know, both of those teams are going to be in full-on YOLO style, out-of-the-playoff hunt, you know, just going balls out. So that should bode well for Elf. You know, he likes to grab those triple-doubles, get all those peripheral stats. And, yeah, he could go bonkers, you know, at that 7-ish K salary. I think it's 7.2, correct me if I'm wrong. He could go for 7X. He's got the potential to do that. So, yeah, John Wall salary-wise meets the rules. But Elf, I mean, I look at him as, like, going to be playing tomorrow night as if he is a 10K player.
All right. I like it. You know, I mean, I think, you know, John Wall, you know, that worries me a little bit, to be honest with you. Just the foot injury. They're chasing, you know, to have an injury this late in the season, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Scott Brooks say, just rest. It's just the Bulls right now. And the Bulls are not that good. We can beat them, you know, and don't worry about it. You know, we want you more healthy than not. So,
And if I can just real quick just add, just to remind everybody, you know, this is something that I strongly believe in. When a star is injured and sits, don't immediately go for the backup. The backup is not always the greatest way to go. You want to go for the other star or the other high usage player on the team. So don't immediately think that Brandon Jennings is the way to go. You know, Bradley Beal is obviously, you know, the number two behind John Wall. If not, honestly, these days he is the number one, as far as I'm concerned, scoring wise. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I actually think, yeah, Bradley Beal will be a great play, and I would absolutely be talking about him, except for the fact that there are some other really nice options from a price perspective at shooting guard tonight. So I guess we'll start at the top here, though. You know, the stud shooting guard in my mind, you know, I don't mind James Harden against New Orleans. But I absolutely am in love with Giannis against LA, the Lakers. He's 10-5. He's in the Staples Center again. They played, you know, the Clippers the other night. They're going to play the Lakers tomorrow night. You know we want Giannis in an open court, pace up, low defense affair. I mean, this is it, man. This is a dream scenario for Giannis. His price is very reasonable. It hasn't gone up of late because he's kind of had a couple duds mixed in with some of his other big games. Matchup, wonderful. You know, the Bucks are creeping on that 8 seed. They're holding on tight. You know, they're going to continue their playoff run and hopefully get that 8 seed just to kind of get that experience. I've talked about it before. You know, I think Giannis gets at least, you know, he's going to get the minutes. I don't necessarily see a blowout here. The Bucks haven't really blown anybody out this year. I don't really have that in them. They don't have that gear. And I think that they'll let the Lakers hang around for a little while. So, you know, Giannis at 10-5 going up against the Lakers is just in an excellent spot. He had 58 against them earlier this year. He's averaged 48 in plus pace matchups where the total's above 215. So in high total, high pace matchups, he's averaged 48. That's plus five on his season average. So plus five. I think 48 is kind of a starting point for him in this situation. That's with 75% consistency, by the way. So 48 is the floor, right? Then where do we go from there? You know, I mean, I think it's just a really, really good position for a guy like Giannis to be in. We know he's been playing the four as well. You know, he's kind of shifted down. Middleton at the three, Snell at the two, Brogdon at the one. And Lakers are giving up 21 and 10 to forwards at the moment. You know, I just don't see any reason that Giannis won't be able to get good scoring done on the interior here against a poor Lakers defense. So let's lock in some Giannis.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, how much analysis needs to be made further on that one. You know, taking on the Lakers, he's a great play. So, you know, great call there, Sean. Great observation on Giannis against the Lakers. Don't overanalyze it there, people.
Hey, you just called a point guard against the Suns, all right? Hey. You know, I can go Giannis against – I can go with an MVP – or excuse me, an all-star against the Lakers.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joshing. You get it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. All right, small forward. We're looking at Jimmy Buckets, who, my goodness, what do we make of the Jimster these days? He's so confusing right now, because the other night, we're in our private chat, you know, Sean and a couple other guys, we like to just talk, you know, plays of the day and, you know, we're talking about Jimmy against the Hornets, and
geopolitics.
Yes, geopolitics, global warming. You know, the status of all the world's markets. The corn market comes up a lot too. Commodities and whatnot.
Commodities are very. We're all trading in wheat.
Yes, which is a wheat side and pork bellies.
Okay.
That's enough. Yeah, but we're all talking about Jimmy against the Hornets the other night. We're like, damn, man, this is going to be a great play, you know, under 9K. And he, you know, does just that. He goes for over 50, you know, after a string of 20, 30 point games. And then what does he do? Comes right back with a sub 30 effort against Memphis. And, you know, to the untrained ear, you know, you think Memphis Grizzlies, great defensive team. Sure, you know. For the most part, yeah, but against wings, they're not that great, you know? And so you're kind of shocked. You're like, Jimmy, what is going on here? Like, what Jimmy am I going to get? Well, he's still below 9K after those outings, that 50-pointer. So it's really tough to anticipate which Jimmy we're going to get. The odds are high that he's going to get tons of opportunity. You know, he's going to get an inordinate amount of opportunity, because now with Dwayne Wade out for the season, you know, he is by far, you know, the focal point of that team. And so, you know, you don't have to, you know, guess whether or not he's going to get 15 or 20 field goal attempts. I mean, he's going to get that as a floor. So, you know, he's going to get opportunity, and you know, he's going to get minutes. It's highly unlikely that he sees less than 36 minutes. You know, as far as I'm concerned, like, if they don't give him 40 minutes, you know, still trying to hold on to this playoff spot, then they're just not trying. They're trying to get out of the playoffs. Well,
they got bumped. They're down now in that, like, 10 range with Charlotte middling down there.
Oh, yeah, I haven't looked at the standings in a couple days, so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then maybe they're content with that. I don't know. With the Bulls, yeah. It's hard to – I mean, you're the Bulls expert around here. But
I honestly no idea what you get from the Bulls. I think – I mean, you're absolutely right that Jimmy is pretty much the whole franchise. I think what you have to try to figure out is who are they going to try to develop around him? You know what I mean? Like,
right. I mean, you know that, like, Denzel Valentine is going to get some nice run tonight, and –
right.
You know that Rondo is going to be out there too. And we'll talk about Rondo in a little bit. So, you know, there's going to be some players that they're going to try to get looks for. But yeah, you know, like, but you know that Jimmy's going to be out there. I mean, you just now I'm kind of second guessing myself here, Sean. You know,
no, they're not going to shut him down. I mean, it's not like he's a veteran. Like, I think Hoiberg has to figure out how and if this team works with the young players that they have, right? Like, Dwayne Wade's not there. Fine. Okay, fine. He's not part of their future. He's just a fill-in piece. Like, and so they have to figure out whether or not Jimmy works alongside guys like, you know, Mirotić and Paul Zipser and Jerian Grant or Cameron Payne. You know, so they're going to give him they're going to give him plenty of minutes with these guys and try different things, you know? And I just, with his youth, like, they're not going to shut him down or anything. They're not worried about injury. He's healthy. He's not, no nagging injury. So I'm not worried about Jimmy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as far as the matchup goes, I mean, it's probably going to be a pretty neutral pace. If Wall sits, you know, when he's in, the Wizards are playing like bats out of hell lately. But if Wall sits, you're pretty confident it's going to be a neutral pace, and a neutral DVP situation. And I say neutral because it's neither bad nor good. It's probably just league average, you know? And, so yeah, just keep that in mind. You know, I know that a lot of us are aware that the Wizards have been picking up the pace in the second half, and yeah, it's going to slow down if Wall's out. And even though Otto and Brad are elite wing defenders, Washington does give up production to wings and guards. So, yes, we know in real life that certain guys are great defenders, such as the case with these two gentlemen. But, you know, same goes with, like, Kyle Lowry when he's healthy. You know, he's a great defender in real life, but Toronto was, you know, regularly giving up production to point guards. So don't be too scared off by them. So, yeah, like I said before, you know, it's highly unlikely that Jimmy sees less than 36 minutes. I mean, he's pushing 40 lately. So in my mind, he's extremely safe for minutes, but he's quite risky given his recent, like, meh-ness. So, yeah. You know, he's just as likely to go for 50 as he is for 25. So tread lightly.
I hear that. I think. You know, and it's about where are you investing, right? Like, we always talk about this. If you've got a 9K on this slate, where are you going to put your 9K? You know, you have to think about that.
Exactly.
Good call. All right, at power forward, it's Anthony Davis at 11-2. He's going to Houston. This was the first matchup that we saw from Boogie in the Brow, the first episode of Boogie in the Brow.
Boogie and a brow.
Yeah, I love Elton John, man. Gotta love Elton John. So we just had the
matchup. This is a hashtag tangent show.
Yeah, I know.
I love it.
Well, there may or may not be some adult beverages involved. You know, March Madness, tis the season.
And you're taking my advice from last week's episode of drink a goddamn beer and chill the fuck out.
Dude, if I hadn't, I think I would have killed Gordon Hayward through my phone. So that's just kind of where I'm at. Anyway,
he's just not trying to take away Gonzaga's shine.
I know, I guess that's true. So here's the deal with AD, right? Boogie went for 63 in that game against Houston. And AD went for 46, right? We know that Houston cannot guard the center. They cannot guard bigs. They don't rebound. They give up tons of points. There's a huge pace differential here. That's all really, really, really good. You know, I think that the thing that we have to figure out is when these guys each go off separately, it's because they're the one that's rebounding that night. It's very weird. Okay, so if you look at their game logs in the last, like, 10 or 12 games, they basically trade nights where they rebound. Like, one guy will have 6 and one guy will have 16. One guy, you know, there was a night, like, Boogie, the night against the Spurs, Boogie had 23 freaking rebounds, and AD had, like, you know, 4. I can't figure out necessarily from a strategic perspective why and how they, you know, why and how they trade rebounding responsibilities like this. It really doesn't make sense. But they do. And, you know, it's kind of like, it's important to note, like, cause that's where the ceiling lies for Davis. That's where the ceiling lies for Boogie and who's going to get the rebound. So, I don't know necessarily that AD is – I think that part of what I'm thinking is AD will do more scoring, but Boogie may do the rebounding on this end because he did more rebounding in that last game against Houston. I'm not really sure. So if you have a crystal ball, I would love to know. Josh, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Houston definitely. I mean, look, this game is going to be a very high-paced game. I mean, both teams play at a maddening pace, especially Houston. You know, I know New Orleans plays slightly above average. So there's going to be a ton of rebounds to go around. I mean, I could look down in the stats. I'll tweet something out tomorrow, maybe if I look a little further into the rebounding situation with these teams. But anecdotally, by my gut, you know, I know that when you play Houston, there's going to be a ton of three-point attempts per, you know, Mike D'Antoni's system. And you got to assume that Boogie is going to be right there in the middle. But like you said, like, how do you figure out which one is going to get the production? And, you know, my thing is, I think my rule of thumb is, if there is no bully there to instigate Boogie, then you got to feel good about it. And honestly, I don't think that Clint Capella is much of a bully. Yeah. You know, he's definitely like a solid, you know, in the paint kind of player, but he's a slim kind of long, you know, stretch center, you know, who can't shoot free throws to save his life. So
I hear you. I think that's a good observation, like that if nobody's going to challenge Boogie, then he can soak up glass. And maybe that's what we do. Maybe we go down to Boogie, because I think he's probably the best stud center. You know, you have Cat on this slate, but
Cat, you can save $1,200, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're saving the money. We are looking at, you know, we've got Cat in a position against Miami. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, and Miami was getting pushed around by centers like over, you know, I guess like the middle portion of the season. But lately, they've really been stepping it up. Miami's playing some good ball lately. You know, yeah, I don't know. I don't think Cat is that attractive, to be honest.
You know, it's interesting. You want to target. Whiteside, and you can really pick on Whiteside, but from a team defense perspective, Miami is so solid that they're actually top five now against the center. I'm looking at the wrong statistic.
Well, I'll tell you, over the last 10 games, Miami is 26th. Well, that's good. Gives up the 26th least. So what is that? 5th. Yeah, 5th over the last 10 games.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they're not bad. I mean, and if you contrast, you know, Cat with basically one of the most plus matchups, you know, on the slate, Houston on the season, bottom three in DVP, barely better than the Lakers and the 76ers. And we know that they don't rebound. They're bottom five in rebounding rate in the league. You know, I just feel like Boogie at 9-4 is in a really good spot. Mm-hmm. Here's my question for you, Josh. If you're spending $9K on this slate, are you going to go to Boogie, or do you want to go down to a value center?
You know, honestly, like right now, it's hard for me to say. But here's the thing with Boogie at this price. Like, I think we're still getting used to it. Like, it's just, I'm still getting used to seeing him in four-digit salary. I mean, he's been over 10K, over 11K for years.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to continue to try to wrap your head around it every time the Pelicans are on a slate. So I see him there, and it's so like attractive, Boogie at 9,400. But yeah, you know, I think if we inspect this a little bit further, I could find someone that might be a bit more attractive. But yeah, man, you know, just to wrap this up, I mean, Boogie in Houston in this super high paced game with lots of rebounds to go around, lots of scoring. The final score is probably going to be like 130, 120 Houston. So yeah, you have to assume that Boogie is going to, you know, make up a giant portion of that production.
Right. And I mean, I think if you think about this, like we just talked about this, right? And then this is that, I don't know, Fern, if you heard me talking about this earlier in the week, but like what I call relative cost value,
Yes. Yes.
And you know, it's that relative positional value. It's about a drafting strategy from the Fantasy Black Book, but relative cost value is basically the idea, like in DFS, that like you're not just comparing Boogie's price to other centers. You're comparing him to other 9K assets on the slate. So if I compare him to Jimmy, I think I would rather have Boogie in this situation than Jimmy against Washington. So, I mean, in that respect, he kind of takes a little bump for me.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted something out that I hope it's still available. Yeah, it's going to still be available by the time this comes out. Yeah, if you look at my Twitter feed, I just did a little experiment today where I looked at the market share of fantasy production over the last 10 games for a whole bunch of players. And by market share, I mean like the percentage of fantasy points that each player made up on his respective team. And like, so for example, Russell Westbrook scores like 30% of the Thunder's fantasy points over the last 10 games, which is far and away the most in the league. But just to hammer home your point, Sean, it's like, yeah, man, you know, not all, say, 7K players are made the same. Some 7K players comprise more production of their team than others. And you have to consider that. And it's, you know, just something that, you know, people, I think, might overlook from time to time.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you right there. All right, let's go down to the mid-tier, and let's take a look at some of these fantasy grout players. You know, we're talking in the five on up to the 8-5 range. Josh, you already talked about Peyton. I mean, I think let's take a look. I think we have to keep a look at what he does tonight against
Golden
State team. But man, if this dude, like, if he keeps up this clip, like, he's had three triple doubles in March alone. He's really been productive, and we thought maybe it was correlated with Vooch. We talked about that last week, remember? We thought this like bump production was, you know, Vooch out, but then he goes out and he has a massive game against Sacramento. You know, I think if we see some big numbers from him tonight, then I think we have to really lock him in just because he's playing so well.
Yeah, man, totally. And the Magic are out of it. And, you know, so, you know, he just has, there's nothing to lose. I mean,
full YOLO is what we say.
Full on YOLO. So, yeah, you know, Elf would be here under normal circumstances. But like I said before, you know, he's going to be playing, I think, like a 10K baller tonight, you know, so against Phoenix, I mean, what do you want? It's going to be a beautiful thing to watch. But a few of the non-Elfrid Payton plays in the grout tier. I mean, first up is Rajon Rondo. He's still, you know, really cheap. And I love that 5'8 price taking on the Wizards in Washington. If John Wall doesn't go, that bodes well, really well for Rondo, because no one's really going to be scared of, you know, seeing Brandon Jennings in front of them on the defensive end. You know, he's a tiny little fella, not more than 170 pounds, I think. And, you know, so Rondo, he's not the biggest guy either, but that, you know, physicality of Jennings that doesn't exist. So Rondo, at least, you know, his offensive game, what little of it there is, you know, can shine a little bit, and maybe we can see him with a dozen, you know, 15 points or so. But, you know, he's doing a lot, you know, these days when he's getting nice run, like over 30 minutes. I mean, you know, lots of assists, lots of rebounds. You know, he's throwing in the steals, and I mean, I feel like in this particular matchup, you know, with the player defending him, I mean, and the recency of his performance against who did he just play? The most recent game, Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put up 40 points against Memphis.
Against Mike Conley. And the nice thing is that Okay, so the thing about Rondo's production is, Josh, is he doesn't have to score to be productive.
Exactly.
Right? He's going to get rebounds. He's going to get assists. He's going to run the break. He's going to, you know, he's going to try to get maybe, you know, like 8-8-8. And that's a really nice line for your point guard.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, if he can get, I mean, if he can get 8-8-8 and then like a couple steals, I mean, I could do the math right now, but that's well over 30 points. So, yeah, you know, like he's just going to get a lot of touches and opportunity now with D Wade out. And, you know, I think also the line isn't out yet for this game because the status of Wall, you know, it could be out when you're listening to this, dear listener. But as of right now, I think my guess is it's going to be, you know, probably Wizards by 4.5 to open. But yeah, it should be a close game. And I think he's going to get about 30. Go ahead.
I think the line will move to Wizards closer to 8 if John Wall plays. I think Wall plays, the Bulls don't have a chance. But if John Wall sits, then I think you're right. I think it's in the 4-5 range.
Yeah. 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 And like you said before, you know, the Wizards have no reason to trot out a 50% Wall. But yeah, so look, he's whether Wall plays or not, I still like Rondo. You know, with his skill set, his upside, his price, right now he seems too good to be true. You know, I think he's a lock and load. He's going to be a beast. But if you look up the salary scale a little bit, a couple thousand bucks, you'll see a friend of the pod, at least in my eyes, Señor Ricard Rubio y Vives. Otherwise known to you and me as Ricky Rubio. He's the Spanishest Spaniard to ever Spanish. It looks like a tough DVP match for Ricky.
Just for listeners, full reveal. The best part about this is that Fern wrote the note, the Spanishest Spaniard to ever Spanish. We're live looking at our notes, and he wrote that note right next to Rubio's name. Go ahead, Josh. Talk about the Spanishest Spaniard.
Well, when Ricky Spanishes the ball, he Spanishes down the court and Spanishizes all the Spaniards. Ricky's going to be taking on the Miami Heat of Miami, and it's worth noting that they do give up you know,
large Latino community in Miami. Isn't that correct, Josh?
Yeah, well, a lot of Cubans there, and they're not, you know, particularly fond of the Spaniards, at least as far as I know. But, you know, it's all good. You know, Ricky's still a friend of the city of Miami, as well as a friend of the pod. But, yeah, so Miami, you know, DVP-wise, they're pretty good against point guards. But it's worth noting that when you break down the percentage, the share of production that Miami gives up to each position, they do give up almost a quarter of their fantasy production to point guards. So if you're going to target a good DVP team, you want to do it with a player who fills the stat sheet in every category while also getting some serious minutes. And those both apply to Ricky. We all know that Tibbs gives tons of minutes to his starters, and we all know that Ricky does everything on the court. You know, the spread here is also favoring Miami by 4.5. So you got to like Rubio as a road dog, because he's going to be leading the Wolves, you know, if they are behind trying to keep up with the Heat. You know, and Minnesota, they're, you know, as far as, you know, I can tell, you know, the way they're playing lately, they're fighting for a playoff spot. They're trying to push up and catch Denver. So they're not out of it yet. They're rolling lately. And I think this game is going to be even closer than the spread suggests. You know, 4.5 points, I think this could be down to the wire. Perhaps if we're lucky and you want to game stack this one, which I don't think would be a terrible decision, because I think it's going to be really competitive with both teams jockeying for position in their respective playoff races. You know, this could be an overtime game, maybe. So, yeah.
Well, I think that to some degree it could be a low-owned game, you know.
Yes.
It's pace down, so I think you like that in this situation.
Yeah, and that's – I think Ricky's like a semi-pivoty play. Lately he's been producing so well and people are loving him, but I don't think that everyone's going to be on him, in this matchup.
The only concern that I have is the price now you know, combined with DVP, Dragic is really good price. And then on the road, you know, we know he's better at home. We know he's way better at home. But I think you're absolutely right to say that, you know, this is a nice pivot here. And this is a road dog. This is a good spot for him, you know, similar to Rondo, like you said, stacking the stat sheet.
Right. The Spaniard stuff in the stat sheet, stacking the studs. Did you get all that?
Yeah. By the way, Pod, we are currently 34 minutes into this, so let's go. I'm going to keep moving.
Sean, I see how it is. Go ahead.
I know. No, that was really good. A segment. The Spanish to Spaniard to ever Spanish is amazing. he Spanishes down the court. Just remember that.
You know what? Just so you know, I'm not going to even talk about fantasy basketball on the Saturday pod. Okay. I'm just going to make puns for an hour.
So everybody tune in for the puns. All right. Shooting guard, Seth Curry and Evan Fournier, 5'6" and 5'5". Curry's got Philly. Fournier's got Phoenix. Both really good matchups here. All right. This is a really good spot for Curry, though. Okay. Depressed price. He's due for some positive regression. I really hope Wesley Matthews sits out. Then we're all over Seth Curry. He's had some rough matchups lately, okay, but Philadelphia quietly bad against the shooting guard, bottom 10 in the DVP, but giving up 44 points in the last five. That's just as bad as the Nets and the Lakers. We would absolutely play Seth Curry against the Nets or the Lakers. Why won't we play him against the 76ers? I mean, these are all they're right in there with all the teams that you target against the two. So Curry's in a great spot here to go over 25 fantasy points. They, interestingly enough, profile similarly to the Hawks as well in three-point rate allowed. You know, and we saw him 2 weeks ago or a week ago. I don't remember when it was, but he lit up the Hawks, right? He went for 32 fantasy points, and that was when his salary jumped up to like 6,200. Well, a couple bad games, and he's dropped back down to 5,600. So I think we go after Curry. It's a great price, great position play. I don't think anybody's going to really stop him either. I mean, you know, the 76ers defense just is not playing well, and they're just giving up a ton of points, and they play at a pretty high pace, interestingly enough. So you get a couple extra possessions for Seth Curry and maybe no Wes Matthews. Give me 30 points from a guy at 5'6". I'm in love. I love it.
That's a great call. Yeah, just real quick. I mean, Philadelphia, I mean, just without Joel Embiid, they are back to their old ways of the previous couple of years. So,
yes.
Yeah. Don't look at season-long DVP stats for Philly, please. Look at their recent stats.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. 100%. Okay, so that aside, I think we also have Evan Fournier in play. Fournier in Phoenix. By the way, you can pick any of the starting five for Phoenix and feel comfortable, for Orlando and feel comfortable with combination of price and matchup here. It's just too good. He's got Phoenix, and you know what they say about Phoenix, right, Josh?
What's that?
They say no one plays defense on the Suns.
That's what they say?
That's not really a joke. No, it's not a joke. But I,
damn it.
That's what they say about Phoenix. No one plays defense.
Phoenix Suns, they're the Brooklyn Nets of the American Southwest.
Are they? Oh, the American Southwest. Because yes. The Brooklyn Nets of the Western Conference are the Lakers.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Well, the Suns are a close second. Fournier, though, good opportunity to get some work in here, no question. At 5'5", depressed price, the Suns are, you know, equally bad to the 76ers in DVP. The Magic have a plus pace situation. You know, it's one of those spots. You get plus pace, you get a good price on a guy who has a 30-point ceiling. It's just the kind of cash game play that you feel really comfortable with, and you know you're not punting the position completely. You got two starters who are going to get really good minutes and have proven their production in this league, and they have really good you know, spots to produce, and you save money too because you know, they're both below 6K. So one previous matchup against the Suns this year, Fournier had 38 fantasy points. Okay, now the offense has obviously changed there. Peyton emerging. Vooch emerging. You know, it's shifted focus a little bit from Fournier, but I do think that Fournier is in a really good spot to go for 30. you know, he went for 25 against Sacramento. We just saw that. We wanted to target Sacramento there. He went for 25. He doesn't do quite as much in the peripherals as we want him to anymore. But that doesn't mean the dude can't score. You know, he's going to get you over 20 points, real life points. So hopefully he can stack up some peripherals in a pace up game with some extra possessions as well. And I actually think, interestingly enough, I think this one's going to, Josh, you have the lines in front of you.
Yeah. NBA odds. Who are you looking for?
I'm looking for the Orlando Sun, the Suns Magic game.
Yeah. So the over under on that is, once it loads, it is 220 on the dot, and it's a 3-point spread. Phoenix is favored.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a 3-point spread. That's awesome. I mean, game stack the shit out of it. Game stack Phoenix, Orlando, and LA, Milwaukee.
Juicy. Yeah. Can I just say real quick is also the Houston New Orleans game, 227 over under, and Houston is a road favorite by only 4.5. Wow. So if you just focused on Houston, New Orleans, and Phoenix, Orlando, you are going to be having a good time.
Yeah. And, hey, viable strategy, by the way. Our friend DFS Spectre does this in a couple $1 entries every single night. He will game stack the highest pace, highest total games of the night, just kind of as an experimental fun thing. And, hey, he game stacked Houston, L.A. the other night. And what did he – he took down a 100 man, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I think he's going to be running that experiment, you know, for the foreseeable future. It's not a bad call, you know?
No,
I mean, I think that people try to go really, balanced a lot of the time in those 100 bands. And if you do the game stack a la a GPP, it could benefit you. But yeah. I also really want a quick, give a shout out to our buddies, DFS Spectre and DFS Kingsguard, two gentlemen that Sean and I met recently on Twitter, and we've hit it off, become DFS pals, and, they're awesome dudes. So definitely give them a follow.
Yeah. And the nice thing is Kingsguard is a DK guy. So if you have DK questions, Kingsguard can answer those for you. All right, let's talk about
small. Just tell him that he owes you a tip for like an actual money tip because he took down a huge GPP recently. Just tell him he owes you a tip and just trick him and he'll send you some money via PayPal, right, Kingsguard?
Yeah, that's probably true. That's a total guilt trip, Josh. Let's talk about small forwards real quick. Go.
Yeah, small forwards. Sorry. Yeah. So small forwards, my two stalwarts are Chris Middleton and TJ Warren. These are my go-to guys, ladies and gents. I love these two fellas. Middleton is at 6'6 and TJ Warren at 6'3. You know, when you roster them, you feel like you are getting 30 points at a minimum. That's how I feel whenever I roster Chris Middleton. And I feel like a lot can be said about mid 6K players, you know, especially in 50-50s and double ups. So tonight, Middleton and Warren are just super safe plays, super solid plays. They're going to be somewhat heavily owned because of who they're playing, but you just got to feel good about both of these guys. So just starting with Chris, he draws the Lakers. You know, he's the starting shooting guard, listed as small forward. So, you know, he's going to be drawing Jordan Clarkson. And then TJ Warren gets Orlando, and he's going to be taking on most likely Terrence Ross. Yes, please. Definitely like those matchups. DVP-wise, you got to love it. These games ought to be sloppy. They ought to be high scoring. They ought to be fast paced. They're great for peripheral loving wings, such as these two guys. Honestly, I am pretty sure I am going to be stacking these two in at least one lineup, maybe two. I think it's going to pay off well, just because, you know, if you're going to get a combined, say, 70 points from them, you know, 35 from each, at a combined salary of 12.9, that's solid 5.4x value, 5.4x value from your small forwards. So with some luck, maybe Chris pops a little bit, gives us 40, 45 points, you know, and TJ, you know, just gets a little extra production against a gassed Orlando team after taking on Golden State. And we can get some serious value from some mid 6K small forwards in Middleton and Warren. So I love them a lot, especially in cash games.
Dude, TJ Warren is just such a good cash game play. I mean, he took a hit, you know, in salary. Earlier in the season, he was up in the 7Ks, and he took a massive hit in salary because he...
You had the whole Peege and Teej thing going on.
Well, he had the Peege and Teej thing, and then he had that head injury where he had like a series of a concussion or whatever. And so his salary just dropped way down, and it's slowly but surely risen. But, I mean, this is a guy who very, very commonly in the beginning of the season was, you know, in this 6, 7K range. So I love TJ Warren in cash.
Yeah, definitely. If Bradley Beal is like a nice warm blanket from like Lord and Taylor's or Nordstrom's or some really nice department store, they're like a TJ Maxx warm blanket, you know,
like, you don't pay as much for it, but it's still very good.
Holy shit, Sean. Holy shit. He has a nickname, TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx.
You don't pay as much for him, but he gives you some nice production.
Oh my gosh, TJ Maxx. Wow.
TJ Maxx.
I wonder if that'll buoy his ownership tomorrow. All right. Power forward, Aaron Gordon, 5'6", and Dirk, 6'3". I mean, we keep talking about targeting the Suns, but here's the deal. They're bad against the shooting guard. They're terrible against the power forward. Ask Willie Cauley-Stein, right?
Oh, my God.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, and Scal Labrissiere.
Labassiere. Dude, the French are taking over the NBA between LeVert and Labassiere and Nick Batum. It's crazy.
And Rudy Gobert.
And Gobert. Gosh. Man.
Yeah.
But don't talk about
those Germans.
No. Dennis Schroeder.
Especially Dennis Schroeder freaking shit the bed tonight, 21 points.
I love when it's a Dennis Schroeder night, though. He's good.
He can turn it on, man.
He can turn it on.
He just has to refresh his little bleach thing in his hair, and he's on fire.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's his turbo button. Okay. Gordon is almost the same price as Willie Cauley-Stein was. Now, here's the thing. He doesn't rebound nearly as much because Vooch is actually a pretty decent rebounder. But in general, the Orlando Magic are a terrible rebounding team. But the Suns are bottom three in DVP to the power forward. They're allowing 47 points in the last five games. They're just as bad as the Lakers, 21-10 on a regular basis to that position. They allow 52 rebounds a night to opponents. So just for context, that's 21st in the league. The league worst is Brooklyn at 55, right? The league best is Denver, and that's up in the mid-40s. So they're pretty bad at rebounding, the Suns are. So Aaron Gordon should be able to get a couple bumps and an extra rebounds. Pace up game, you know, where you have other athletic bigs running the floor. You like Gordon to keep pace with those guys like Marquise Chris. And Derek Jones Jr. So I think it's a really good spot for Gordon to get some production here. It's interestingly enough, though, the Magic are slightly worse at rebounding and just as bad against the power forward. So we could look at Marquise Chris on the opposite side of the court as well. I mean, Chris had a massive game against Sacramento and actually, interestingly enough, went, I think, for a greater point per dollar value than Willie Cauley-Stein, because he went for 37 at like a salary of like 4.6, so pretty big number from Marquise Chris. But of course, we also love Dirk in this situation. He's in a great spot facing the Philadelphia front court. They're allowing the most points and rebounds to the center position in the league. you know, Draymond Green as a small five, an undersized five, going from 4 to 5, just went for 60, 20 points and multiple rebounds, assists, etc. I don't see any reason that Dirk can't do work playing the five. You know, he has had 3 of the last 6 games over 30 points, and he's flirting with 40 in a couple of those. There's going to be plenty of scoring opportunities for Dirk, especially if, you know, maybe we get no Wes Matthews. I love Dirk in that situation. The question is do you pay 6'3"? You're asking Dirk to get you, what is that, 33 points, Josh?
Yeah, about that.
How do you feel about Dirk? I mean, he probably only, he maxes out at like 28 minutes. Do you think you can get 33 points from Dirk in 28 minutes?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I definitely think you could. I mean, I think he would easily be like a 1.3 point per minute player in this matchup. And, you know, simple math, I guess, 28 and then 1/3, so it's 9-ish. So, yeah, you know, 36. I could see Dirk returning 35 points, 33 points.
Fair enough.
But
fair enough.
I really worry that Dallas will just, you know, wipe the floor with them, and he may not even see that much. But, you know, he's getting his minutes. You know, they want to get him some run and get his legs under him for the rest of the season entering the playoffs. So, you know, because I think Dallas could make a nice little run here at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a good call. You know, the only thing that we have to consider is, and this transitions really nicely into our Grout Centers, the Nerlens Noel revenge game.
Yes, that was on my mind as I was looking over these notes here, God. Sean. Yeah, dude, he definitely is, you know, okay, so I said this yesterday on Twitter and, well, 2 days ago, in a sense, you know, about the Lou Williams revenge game. And I can't remember who tweeted me about it. I want to say it was KL Dog 721. KL Dog 721, by the way. I wish I knew your name so I could refer to you by your name, but awesome guy, always reaching out to Sean and me. But yeah, he said Lou Williams revenge game, and I said, no, I don't think Lou's got too hard feelings against LA being there for a year and a half. And you know, and I still don't think that it was a hard feelings game. I think it was just he just took a big hot dump on them because they suck. And they were in a situation that they could give him extended run. And I think that could be the similar situation for Nerlens, is that Philly is just going to be overmatched by him and Dirk. You know, and he might just get some extended run and he could go for 40 plus. I feel very confident about that.
I mean, I think that that's the thing with Nerlens. Like, he could easy go, you know, 15 and 12 with, you know, 3 blocks and a couple assists. And that kind of line from a guy at 6K is just so, so ideal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, between the way that Philadelphia gives up production, the way he plays, if he gets, you know, 28 to 30 minutes. And I think we have to consider the health. Like, if he's fully healthy and he's not, like, questionable, like, a questionable tag might make me a little bit hesitant. But I think that, you know, like, the revenge factor for Nerlens is very real here. Yes. Like, Philadelphia wasted some of the best years of his developmental career. He has no love lost for them. He was so happy to get out of there and go to the Dallas. You know, I think if we find out that he's healthy and he's good to go with no game time tag, I think we fire him up at 6K. The other one, though, that's interesting and who always goes overlooked is big old Greg Monroe. But I, you know, I don't mind me some Greg Monroe, Josh. You know, I have no problem with Greg Monroe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Steady diet at 27 minutes. You know, that's not bad. In 27 minutes against the Lakers, that's nice. Okay, they are the second worst DVP to the center. Only worse team is Philadelphia. So at 6'5", I don't mind Greg Monroe at all. I think the biggest concern with both of these guys is they aren't the only person in that rotation. You know, Greg Monroe is behind John Henson. Well, John Henson, he's not behind him necessarily. He gets more minutes than Henson, but Henson usually starts the game so that Monroe can come off the bench as a scorer. But then also Nerlens comes off the bench and does that for Dirk as well. So, you know, as a result, you look at their game logs and their outcomes, they can have 40-point games and they can also have 20-point games, you know, which is just based on minutes.
Yeah, well, they can't afford – the Bucks can't afford to fuck around too much. I mean, they're holding on for dear life to their playoff spot. If I am correct here, yeah, they are,
Detroit is nipping at their heels.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in the seventh seed. They got Detroit and Miami and Chicago. I mean, they're sandwiched between Indiana, Detroit and Miami. They can't be messing around out west on the road against the Lakers, who are, you know, they suck, but they're a bunch of scrappy young guys, and they would love to play spoiler and against anybody they can. You have to think that they would, you know?
Right.
So you can't be messing around with stupid John Henson. Like, get Greg Monroe out there. He's an animal. Zubac, you know, has come on pretty well lately, but give me a break. Like, you know, he is an outstanding rebounder, a serious physical presence in the paint. You know, just get him out there and just let him eat.
Yeah, I agree with you a lot there. I think that, I don't think that there's any reason to presume that Greg Monroe might not get more than 30 minutes. That's the question. So, you know, I mean, I'd be optimistic here rather than pessimistic. Yeah. All right, let's dive into the bargain basement here, Josh. Let's give people some value plays at each position.
Right.
Start us off with point guard, my friend.
Yeah, so continuing on the Milwaukee Bucks, we got Malcolm Brogdon getting the Lakers on the road. And Brogdon, he, you know, performs well in good DVP situations, so there's him. You got Tyler Ulis taking the reins after the Suns shut down Eric Bledsoe for the rest of the season. He's drawing the Magic in Phoenix. The Magic, as I mentioned earlier, are going to be coming off a back-to-back in a pace-up game against the Warriors on the road. Pat Bev getting the Pelicans. Pelicans give up a lot of fantasy production all around, and Pat Bev does it all. And you got Jeremy Lin as a viable ownership pivot in a sort of like in a neutral matchup with Boston, at least for the point guard position. Might get actually a little bump with Terry Rozier's defense versus IT3's. So keep that in mind. But speaking of which, you have Terry Rozier filling in for IT3 drawing Brooklyn, and it's a B2B for Brooklyn. So there's the fatigue factor, and it's Terry Rozier's birthday. So there is some serious point guard value on this slate, ladies and gentlemen. Malcolm Brogdon, Tyler Ulis, Patrick Beverley, Jeremy Lin, Terry Rozier, all viable plays. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go into detail here. Again, they are all viable. I love Brogdon to get us.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Is Isaiah Thomas sitting?
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas is out.
I totally missed that noise. I totally missed that news. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, buddy.
Wow. Terry Rozier on his birthday playing Brooklyn.
Uh-huh. I mean, and
he's got the luck of the Irish with the Celtics jersey.
Uh-huh. I mean,
I would have locked him in yesterday.
I know. Yeah, yeah. No, dude, it's a thing. It's a thing.
All right. Good
stuff. Buddy. So, yeah, I think Brogdon's going to be great for 30. I can see Tyler Ulis getting a ton of usage, field goal attempts. Pat Bev is going to get his typical 20 points of peripherals. That doesn't even speak of actual points. Jeremy Lin's going to, you know, be in a second half pace-up chase of Boston, who should be leading after the half. And you know, and Rozier should easily give us back 6X at just 41K.
Yeah. Yeah,
41.
There's a lot of value on this slate.
Yeah, so tons of value. You gotta love, you know, like you say, Sean, paying down for point guard when it's a smart, viable, legitimate play.
Yeah. All right, at shooting guard, we've got Jordan Crawford and Denzel Valentine. Crawford at 3-5, still getting good minutes with the Pelicans, you know, and he's going to have a really nice pace-up situation in Houston. He's just been playing well, and he's still priced minimum. You know, he only went for 14 the other day when we talked about him on the podcast, but, you know, not the end of the world. Like, he's still... you know, still is capable of a couple, you know, still capable of getting some good run in. And it, you know, when you only need 17 points from a guy, that's a really nice position. And then Denzel Valentine, he's getting a lot of extra run without, without Dwayne Wade in the lineup. Valentine probably will slide in there. If you look at his game logs, it's just minutes are trending up in a major way. He's gone up to 23, 25 minutes, and I'm pretty sure he's on the starting unit. So we'll figure out how Hoiberg is going to break down his rotations. But I really think that that's a good situation for the, you know, a good situation to target in Denzel Valentine. Something, you know, we may not need it because we've got a couple other values over here, but Denzel Valentine is a value option to keep our eyes on for sure in the coming weeks. So that's it though, really. Honestly, like, you know, we've got, the nice thing is you've got Fournier and Curry at pretty reasonable prices down there. So, you know, why not look at them?
Yeah, man, definitely. at small forward, you know, sorry, my headphone fell out of my ear. Did you say something that I missed?
No, I said there's a lot of value on this slate, so we may not need to go there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I tried to play it off there for a second, but then I was like, wait, am I being rude and just ignoring something that he asked, or at least seeming like I did? So, yeah, sorry, guys. Headphones fall out of ears sometimes. small forward, you got Brandon Ingram and Tony Snell. They're both viable small forward punts. Okay, we're all aware of Brandon Ingram and Tony Snell. Even Damari Carroll, maybe, you know, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson after a big night. Bojan Bogdanovic, you know, in a potential, I don't know. I don't want to say a blowout against the Bulls, but, you know, he could put this one to bed, you know, for the Wizards.
I like Bojan, yeah.
Yeah. But I have a crazy one for you, boys and girls. Crazy Let's one. Solomon Effin Hill. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's right. Wow. Solomon Hill. I went there. And you want to know why? One reason. It's his birthday on Saturday. The big 2-6. So the Pels are taking on the Rockets. Looks like a solid DVP matchup for Hill as well. He's minimum salary with the nice matchup. The interesting little narrative, you might say, you better call Saul.
Okay. I like that. Isn't that a movie, Call Saul?
Better Call Saul. Yeah, it's the Breaking Bad spinoff.
Oh, nice. Okay.
By the way, don't use Solomon Hill.
No, I don't think we need to use Solomon
Hill. I just wanted to do the Better Call Saul thing.
I appreciate you going deep on power on small forward. All right.
Yeah.
Power forward, there's really only two that I'm interested in. It's Nikola Mirotic and Marquese Chris. Mirotic getting his minutes back, seems to be getting his job back finally. Over 25 minutes in the last couple games. You know, in producing a lot, producing really well, double digit points, flirting with double digit rebounds in a couple of these games. And Marquese Chris, like we said, you know, just really has a decent DVP situation there in Phoenix, going up against the Magic, and really, really productive against the Sacramento. So, you know, two guys who are, you know, not world beaters, but I think if you needed a punt at power forward, they're both starters and they're not starters, but their minutes are secure and their prices are reasonable. And we know that they have, you know, some talent. They know, you know, we don't have to worry about them, you know, doing nothing at all. So, they're not bad plays here in this situation.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely. I like Chris, especially, you know, against, Orlando, who should be gassed, and, they do give up some fantasy production and he's coming on strong, you know, at the end of the year, you know, with, Phoenix looking to play all their young guys. So not a bad call whatsoever. And just looking at center, you know, speaking of young guys, Ivica Zubac, you know, he's He's got a nice matchup taking on Milwaukee. Milwaukee gets beat pretty bad by centers. And he's showing a nice little skill set. And and by the way, it's his birthday coming up here soon, too, as well. Right, so
calendar over there?
BasketballReference.com has the birthdays. So I just have that bookmarked and I check it every day. You got to know the birthdays, Sean. You got to know the birthdays, brother.
I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, Zubac, you have no reason not to look in his direction against Milwaukee. You know, like I said, they're a good DVP target. It should be a nice pace up game. You got what is our team total? 213.5, which isn't that bad. And the 7-point spread, not terrible. But Zubac's going to get run. He's going to get 30 minutes, so he's solid. And then also a friend of the podcast, Robin Lopez of the Chicago Bulls, your Chicago Bulls. The only concern is that, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like Rolo, as a veteran, like, do the Bulls want to look in the direction of younger guys, maybe give Joffrey Lavernier some more run at some point?
No, I mean, they have been giving Lavernier some run just to kind of see what they have and not wear out, Rolo. I think it's Lavernier is an interesting punt as well, for sure. He's been playing pretty well. The Wizards are pretty stingy against the power forward, against the center. I could see that working.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, over the last five games, the Wizards have given up approximately a shitload of points. Ninth most to centers. So. Wow. Yeah.
That's interesting. You don't expect that from them.
Yeah.
All right, Fern, let's jump into some lineup lock here where we build a lineup. Last week we took this kind of more organized approach where we went value up, right? We took all the value guys that we like at each position, and then we upgraded ever so often. And I think that worked out really well. I really liked that.
Yeah, let's do it again.
So why don't you take the point guards and lock in some value plays, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So then I guess I'll start it off with how about Malcolm Brogdon and Terry Rozier?
I like that. All right, good. At shooting guard, I'm going to go with I'll start all the way down at the bottom of the barrel, but I really don't. I mean, we don't have to play these guys, Crawford and Denzel Valentine.
Okay, I'm tempted to go Rondé Hollis-Jefferson. I wonder if he's going to get less run if Booker plays tomorrow or tonight, which he will most likely.
I think that's probably the case because they rested Booker on the front end of the back to back.
Yeah. So, you got to lock in Brandon Ingram. He's getting way too many minutes.
Yep.
I love Tony Snell. I mean, I make fun of him all the time, but he's getting a lot of run.
Yeah, he is getting a lot of run. I was going to say we could lock in Boyan too.
Yeah, Boyan. We could. We could.
Okay.
Let's lock in Boyan. Screw Tony Snell.
Screw Tony Snell. Boyan versus Tony Snell.
Piece of shit.
What an asshole.
What a dumbass. Tony Snell,
so selfish.
Fuck you, Tony Snell.
All right. I didn't talk about at power forward, and I probably should have talked about at power forward, is a guy who's been getting 20 plus minutes at 3-8 is Amir Johnson.
Yeah.
For the Celtics. He's kind of plays the center position. He's a decent value play. It's punty, but against Brooklyn, you don't mind that at all. And then of course, we'll look at Mirotić, I think, at 4-3. And then at center.
Well, at center, you obviously have to go with Zubac. I mean, he's just getting so many minutes and he's got a great matchup.
Yeah, that's true. Zubac.
Tell me, who are your shooting guards again?
Crawford and Valentine. Jordan Crawford and Denzel Valentine.
Okay. All right.
Zubac did not get much run in that Houston game.
No, he didn't. He didn't. But the game before that, I mean,
he 30 played minutes
against Denver.
That's true. That's true. All right. Well, let's upgrade here. So, Josh, who are some of your favorite plays on the slate? Let me know where do you want to go with some of these plays?
Let's just get off Zubac then. Let's just go right up to It's for me, it's between Boogie and Nerlens. Then again, you know what? Let's just go full on Boogie.
Okay.
Against Houston's on the road in that game too. Yep. Like they're just going to be playing, you know, super high pace. And I think, you know, like I said earlier, it's going to be like 130, 120. I think he's going to eat.
I hear you. All right. And then I'm going to go up to shooting guard and I'm going to lock in Giannis. I just feel like fading Giannis against the Lakers would be stupid. We would be shooting ourselves for that. So let's go with Giannis right there.
And who are you going to drop?
I dropped Jordan Crawford.
Okay. So we've got...
I think we should drop Denzel Valentine too, for the record.
Okay. I'll let you pick the shooting guard. After
shooting guard two?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to go ahead... I'm going to leave point guard where it is right now.
Okay.
And I am going to upgrade one of our small forwards. So I don't want to go three Milwaukee players. So I'm going to drop Brandon Ingram. I'm going to leave Boyan. I think it's going to be a Boyan night, you know, in the mid 20s and real points. And I'm going to put TJ Warren in there.
Okay. TJ Warren.
Clack, 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 clack.
All right.
TJ Maxx. TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx. TJ Maxx. So I think that we should upgrade Denzel Valentine to Seth Curry. I like his situation tomorrow night. So I'm going to go up to Seth Curry.
Now, what if Wes Matthews plays?
If Wes Matthews plays, then I'll consider Fournier. I'll look at it. I just think Curry has more like 30-point upside than it, you know, because you have the scoring ability of Vooch, and I guess, you know, it's kind of the same in Dallas. But I don't know. I think Seth Curry is a little bit more offensively minded than Fournier at times. So I'm not sure. I have no, it's kind of a toss up.
Yeah. Well, that's a good look. Seth should be trending back up. He was having a good run at things, and Philly's a team to do it against.
Yeah, exactly.
I am going to go over to power forward.
Yeah. I was going to say we need some love down there.
And I'm going to get rid of Amir.
Okay.
And I am going to go up to, I want to get some Orlando Magic love in there. I have a feeling about Aaron Gordon.
I got a feeling
that tonight's going to be an Aaron Gordon night.
I like that. That works. That works for me. Okay. So we still have 5K. So we could upgrade our power forwards here. We could upgrade... we could upgrade our small forward. We could upgrade our point guards. What do you think? What do you think is our weakest point right now? I mean,
honestly, I'm feeling really good about our point guards.
I do too.
And even if it's not Rozier or Brogdon, you know, there's still like several more guys that are interesting down there.
Yeah.
And
maybe we upgraded power forward then.
Now, I will say this, though, Sean. I will say this. Elfrid Payton is the 800-pound elephant in the room against Phoenix.
Yeah, he really is an elephant. All right, well, let's upgrade. Let's upgrade. Do you want to keep... Yeah, let's upgrade Brogdon because, you know what? He's more expensive, and his usage is not quite as guaranteed. You know, he's been... good in a couple games, but there are times when he can kind of fall off the map and just kind of,
yeah,
you know, he has more of a floor, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Rozier obviously is, you know, a value guy in this situation. Oh, I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, he's had some nice games. If you look back in his game logs,
yeah.
You know, he had 24 points in 25 minutes against Portland in early February.
Okay.
21 against Chicago in 23 minutes. 20 and 20 against Phoenix. Okay. You know, so. I mean, we could upgrade him. I mean, if we have 2,900 left, I mean, you can always upgrade, you know, to Brandon Jennings if you feel like it. You could upgrade to Kojo for a safety play.
You know what you could do is you could go to your boy Chris Middleton.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Over Boyan.
Oh yeah.
And then you have
Elf. So Middleton and Warren.
Yep.
And then I like Middleton and Giannis better than I like Brogdon and Giannis.
Yeah, they actually have a nice correlation. Mm-hmm. Middleton and Giannis do. By the way, here's an interesting pivot. If we get word that Brandon Jennings is starting point guard, we can very easily go off of Terry Rozier up to Brandon Jennings.
Yes.
And part of me likes that only because I know that Brandon Jennings can produce in a starter's role, right? We saw him fill in for Derrick Rose, and he can score. Dude can score. And he'd be in a really good position in Boston, or excuse me, against Chicago. So we could easily go up there.
Also, if we felt like it, if we're really feeling the Nerlens Noel narrative, we could go down from Boogie to Nerlens, have 3,800 left over, and use it wherever else we see fit.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a flip-flop for Jimmy and DeMarcus, you know, for one of your small forwards there. It's a pretty good trade.
You could go down, you could go to Nerlens, and then you could get off of Nico and go up to Super Dario, but you know, the DVP and the matchup are not particularly amazing. But Dario seems pretty matchup proof these days, so
the pace is what concerns me about that game.
Yes,
really.
Absolutely.
You know, like Dario against the Warriors, give me that. I love it. But Dario against the stingy Dallas team that is super slow, not interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so here's where we're at, Josh. Lord Alfred, Terry Rozier, Giannis, Seth Curry, Chris Middleton, TJ Warren, Aaron Gordon, Nico, and then Boogie Cousins down there at the center. Not bad.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not bad.
You know, and I think we have $400 extra there, which does give you a little bit of flexibility with your second power forward. You could upgrade to Ryan Anderson in a revenge game, for example, if you think that he's going to get some work in against the Pelicans, which, you know, he put up 20 last time against them. Could be a good Ryan Anderson revenge game. Maybe I'll slide him in.
Yeah, there, but, you know, you got to feel good about everyone. Rozier is a little bit of a wild card, so you go up to Jennings. But the other eight guys, I mean, even Mirotić, I know Hoiberg said that he wants him to get extended around the rest of the season, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. I mean, it's just kind of like one of those, they botched that situation and Mirotić didn't get enough minutes to actually be, you know, to feel like productive. So it's a shitty organization, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
right now.
It's too bad.
Anyway.
Hey, let's give Spectre a shout out. He took down Express something. He just tweeted it out.
Oh, nice. He took down an early Express?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
Where is he? He said, DFS Spectre took down the FanDuel Express Slam tonight with the help of yours truly and Sean.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
That's not. Rude.
He's too kind. You did it yourself, dude. Even though we did talk like all day long on Twitter about it, so
That's true. Kind of is our
doing that he won.
It is Spectre. And hey, listen,
you didn't do anything. Spectre is all me and Sean.
The other thing that we have to keep in mind, Spectre, is Spectre is going to be we're planning on soon here launching a cheat sheet that it's taken us a while to get it off the ground, but we're getting there. Spectre is going to be a part of that. So if you know, Spectre is a freaking damn good DFS player, and so he look for him in that. Pretty exciting to have him. On our side there. Absolutely an excellent DFS player. Taking down the Express Slam. God damn, dude, this kid, he's crushing right now.
And I want to say too that I'm looking right here at his screenshot, and you got a whole bunch of 272.6s. So there was potentially a lineup provider, a bunch of people use the same line, and Spectre just dropped an elbow from the top rope on their faces.
Top rope, baby. Top rope.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hey, let's wrap it up here, Josh. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, you guys can find me at Josh Fern, at JOSHFERN. And you could also listen to my show, DFS Chats. Follow the podcast at DFS Chats. This week we're gonna have Jordan Cooper on the show. Jordan is a fellow DFS player who is primarily a soccer DFS player. So I'm really excited to talk about soccer DFS with him.
Oh, wow.
Something I know very, very little to nothing about.
That is awesome. That is really cool. Well, hey. Good night for a lot of people out here. You know, hopefully listeners are getting into some cash money. You know, there's some interesting, you know, this Clippers game is actually became that blowout that we were worried about. So it's happening. It's happening right before our eyes. But we'll see. All right, Josh. Thank you for your help, my friend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy March Madness. Guys, you know where to find me. Of course, I am Hey, Mr. Kane. Ask me your questions. Fire them away. Good luck in your contests tonight.
Yes, indeed. See you guys.